You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmargen, and a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Better part of it gonna hell. Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I am well, my fine brother. How are you?
I am doing well also.
Well, did you get enough turkey inside you?
I got enough turkey. I guess you guys get whenever you have turkey, it rains.
Yeah, sure. It rains all right. I got to tell you, everybody I've talked to are just stuffed full of turkey and all the trimmings that goes along with it, ham and every other darn thing. And first of all, I want to let everybody know our fine brethren, Chuck Creel, went through his procedure to see if he had any blockages in his heart, and he came through with flying colors. So he was dreading the situation, and I guess he was so panicked up that they had put him asleep. He said he was asleep for 7 hours, and when he woke up, it was all over, never knew what happened, and came through with flying colors, no blockages whatsoever in his heart, in any of his main arteries. You know what I don't understand, Marco? I got to tell you a story. You know, I'm 9 years January. I celebrate 7 stents in my heart. Mm-hmm. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, but 7. I held the record on the West Coast. And I'm not proud to say this, but I'm proud to say that after 9 years, after having 7 drug-eluting stents in my heart, I'm still around to talk about it. I'm kind of like the poster child for Kaiser because they talked about it. And they used me as an example. And it's just an amazing thing. And, oh, by the way, having those 7 stents, I was awake during the entire procedure, and I watched them while I did it. And it was just an incredible feat, believe me.
Isn't that kind of neat?
It is. And to see, after, you know, going 9 years, okay,
yeah.
And where they wanted to, in the beginning, open me up like a chicken, of course, you know, and put you on life-saving type of equipment and take your heart out and take the veins through your legs and do open heart surgery, and that's when I told them no. I said, I'll go home and die. And that afternoon, this doctor is very bold, and he says, hey, I think I can save you. And I said, well, I don't like anybody that can think. I want somebody that knows. And he says, okay. He says, I know I can do it. I said, how many have you done already? Now, you got to understand, 9 years ago, I was one of their guinea pigs. Not knowing, believe it or not, that when I went in for that procedure that day, if they zigged when they should have zagged, they had a team waiting to crack me open like a chicken and do open heart surgery. But I never knew that until it was all over. But the guy was a professional. He knew what he was doing. 9 years later, I'm sitting here talking about it, and I was awake during the entire 4.5-hour procedure. And I'll tell you what, I'm an advocate for non-smoking. I'm champion behind everybody I see. Anyone I see smoking today, I keep telling them my situation and tell them not to smoke because, my gosh, and nobody could have told me anything neither. But I smoked for 45 years. And there's a lot of people out there still smoking, and I wish we can just get them to stop. It's a real bad thing. Anyhow, so you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, and everything went well.
Absolutely.
Cool.
We lost you in the mountains last week, so
yeah, right.
To a storm and rain and inclement weather and everything else. So we did the show.
Yeah, it was. You know, I've got to tell you. You know, I'm hearing about all these stories across the country. I got a phone call again. I got an email today. A phone call yesterday. Oh, did you hear about the new DNA that came out with Dr. Melba Ketchum? She was in DFW on some channel, on some radio station and a TV station. And I says, well, what are you trying to tell me? Just spit it out, you know? Well, that human is Bigfoot is linked to humans now. Duh.
You think? Duh.
I needed a veterinarian to come out and tell us that the hair samples that she talked about, so somebody sent me the link. And still not in a journal. It was a press release that they had sent out themselves, and apparently today it was picked up by a local station there in Texas and had her on via the telephone, or she went into a local station. I don't know if it was ABC, NBC, or CBS affiliate. And she gave her soliloquy on what she thinks it is, and that it was done in universities, private labs, and
her
labs
backyard.
Overseas, and they all concurred that these creatures are linked to us humans. So my question to the infamous Dr. Ketchum is this, veterinarian Dr. Ketchum, doctor being a doctor of
horses.
Of horses and animals.
Yeah.
Not people, not an anthropologist, not a zoologist, but of horses, as you indicated. What's the point here? What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that Bigfoot is partly human? So is it the missing link that everybody has been talked about for the last 50 years, 100 years? Gee, thanks. You know what we need to do? Is bring one back some way. Prove it to the world it's there. Enough with the hoopla, the DNA. And they even kind of made fun of her on the air. I saw it. I saw the interview. I don't know. You know, I don't have all the answers. Nobody does. The big guy in the sky is the only guy that really knows anymore. But the point of it is, it's real simple, okay? One of these things are going to have to sacrifice themselves to come out and prove to the world that they exist. And I'll tell you something else. Oh, my gosh. Somebody sent me a clip, Bill. I don't know if I talked to you this, to you about this, but and they're showing Dr. Meldrum equating that footage that that hiker took up there in Idaho or Utah, wherever it was, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, Utah.
Yeah, yeah, Utah. And he's equating the swing of the arm of the creature that this hiker took with the Patterson footage. To myself, oh, my God. And these people are the ones that are teaching our children?
And they're lost.
I love that. I love. Say that again. I didn't hear that too closely.
They're lost.
What?
They're lost.
They are lost. You're right, okay? And I says to myself, how can they go ahead after the proof that we've brought forth? And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a copy of Hoax of the Century, go up to searchingforbigfoot.com right now, look at the trailer, and you'll see what we're talking about. The Patterson film, the Patterson/Gimlin film, has been certified 100% hoax, fake. We've done our due diligence. Mr. Johnson's done his due diligence. He's done a fine job. Together we've collaborated on this, got others in the mix. The film don't lie, ladies and gentlemen. Take a look for yourself. You'll see exactly what we're talking about. The man that wore the suit, the man that made the suit, the people, the cohorts that were involved that gave Patterson the money. You'll actually see the warrant for Patterson's arrest. That's right. One of the investors put out a warrant, signed warrant for his arrest. You're going to see all that. You're going to see the intricacies of how this man that wore the suit took two lie detector tests. Remember F. Lee Bailey? You saw him with the O.J. trial. This guy had a TV station, a program. And the guy that wore the suit was on there, and he passed. Not once, twice, maybe even three times. I don't remember. But I'm trying to tell you guys, what in the world is happening to our... these are scholastic people. These guys have PhDs, and they're going out saying, oh, yeah, it's real. He's equating that film with the Patterson film, and we know for a fact that the Patterson film was nothing but a ruse. Don't believe me. Go up to that website, searchingforbigfoot.com, ladies and gentlemen. Shop for Bigfoot right there on the left. Order your film. Get it out for Christmas. You're going to have yourself one hell of a Christmas gift there. Well, let's see who we got on the show here, Billy Boy. Wow, we're going to go out back out to Michigan. Go talk to Dean.
Yeah, Tom, and Dean was on last week, but we didn't really have a lot of time.
Okay.
But basically, Dean was, as you know, Mike from Michigan has his bear, you know, the area that he has a bear, a whole bunch of bears that he monitors and stays with all the time.
Right.
And he met with Dean and gave me Dean's contact number. and then Dean has had some contacts with the creature. Pretty interesting. So anyway, let me go and let me get Dean on.
Okay.
Dean, you're on.
Okay, hello.
Hey, Dean, Tom Biscardi, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. I understand that you didn't have much time to finish up last week. Well, we got time for you today. What's going on down there in your area?
Well, I pretty much summed it up last week that I can remember. I mean, just in 2008, I had quite a encounter with these things.
Well, why don't you recap and let us know what was said?
Well, pretty much to make a long story short, you know, shine my spotlight out the window one night, and I seen a little one outside, you know, in my backyard, probably about 3 foot, 4 foot tall. And about a few weeks later, I went out to throw some wood in my, outdoor boiler there, and I guess it was one start shaking the trees like crazy and let out this tremendous whoop, whoop, which I heard maybe 3 or 4 times before that. Didn't know what it was until, you know, after I saw the little one, and then this thing was in my backyard and did that. And then a few weeks after that, I shot a deer and was looking for it, and, well, that was the crazy part. This one had, you know, it must have had my deer and dropped it, but it disappeared on me. It just vanished. And then a few weeks after that, I shined the light out the window again, and there was a big one standing out there. I was just looking at him, just staring at him. So basically, that was the sightings in 08, then in 09. You know, after all this happened to me, while I was looking for him every night, I'd get up and, you know, and sit out on the deck or whatever, and I saw him a couple other times, you know, just brief encounters in 09. It was just, I saw the shine of their eyes, and then one ducked behind the raspberries, another one ducked behind a tree. Well, that's basically the sightings I've had.
So when was the most recent one that you had?
In 09.
In 09, okay.
Right.
So it's been 3 years. Have you heard from others in the area? What's been going on over there?
Well, just this year there was 2 sightings up here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, actually more than that. There was, last winter, 5 snowmobilers saw one at the same time. Then this year, in like March, 2 guys came out of their sauna, and there was one standing at the end of the sauna, and then just sort of staring, you know, sitting there. And this one woman was telling me the story, and then I asked them, well, what happened, you know, after they went where they're standing there face to face? And they said, well, the thing just took off lickety-split. And I said, well, what do you mean, took off lickety-split? She says, well, it just was gone. They said it took off and was gone. So that one just disappeared on them, too.
Wow. Now, did you get a chance to meet the other guy up in your area?
Who, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Pretty remarkable stuff up there, huh?
They're up here. I got a buddy named Hank. You should hear some of the stories he's got. Incredible. He's the one that got these pictures. I sent Marco some pictures. He'll probably have them by next week. And these things, the pictures will explain how these things can cloak themselves.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm anxious myself to see exactly what's going on there.
That's, yeah, right. I know they can disappear because I had it happen to me.
Uh-huh.
But the pictures that he got, well, they're incredible, actually, I think. What did the show's one disappearing. I mean, you can actually see through it. It looks like a sort of like a ghost, you know. Then the other pictures was a series of pictures. And it actually shows like a little one. It only must be about 3 foot tall. And it's running in front of the camera there. And we believe they were practicing their cloaking in front of the cameras, teaching the little ones, because there were pictures of not only one, but two or three at the same time running in front of the camera.
Wow. Wow. Now, you actually see them on the pictures that you sent to Marco?
Well, you can see their cloaking device, and the one you can see him behind the cloak. He must have not, like, didn't do it right, because you can see the, well, you'll have to see these pictures, you know.
Is it a silhouette-like?
Huh?
Does it look like a silhouette?
No, it looks sort of like a spider web that comes down over them.
Wow.
Actually, the way I see it, because on the one, you can see where he swings his arm. You can see the shadow. Uh-huh. He must have really quick reflexes because, you know, it looked like the camera clicked. You know how they give a, you know, half a second?
Sure, sure, sure.
And he turned and looked, and he's looking, and you can see the swing of his arm. You know, the shadow-like, or the trails or whatever from the swing of his arm. But you can't see his arm, but where his arm should be, there's these two green spots in the shape of a half a moon or a quarter moon, and he's disappearing. Then in the other pictures, you can see this cloaking device, and you can see the two spots. Actually, it's just one spot at night, because the first one was in the day. And the one at night, you can see, and it's got this glowing half moon in the middle of this net, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it, you know. But you can see the half moon glowing there. And if you would trace and compare the two pictures, that spot would be identical.
Well, you seem to go out there and doing what you know how to do best, and I appreciate it. How's the weather over there, Dean?
We got about 6 inches of snow on the ground, sort of cold, 20s.
It is, huh? So winter is here for a while.
Well, it's supposed to warm up here by the weekend and in the high 40s, so it'll probably melt everything again.
Listen, appreciate you coming on. Do me a favor. Let us know. Keep your ears close to the ground. Let us know what's going on, would you?
Right, and the picture I sent, I don't know if you remember Mike talking, how he had the tree knocked down, a footprint, but I sent a picture of the tree that he knocked down and the footprint that he took, too, with the ones I had, so you'll be able to see that footprint he found. It's pretty impressive.
You talked about a guy named Mike Tuck?
No, his name is Mike Ballinger.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah, right, that's
fantastic.
Pretty much my story.
It's all right.
Well, but, you know, next week when you get them pictures, you know, I'll be able to explain it more if you, you know, want me to get on and if you have any questions on the pictures.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that'll be great. I can't wait to see them myself.
Okay, yeah, they are, well, like I said, they are pretty strange looking. That's all I can tell you.
You're the best. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dean from Michigan giving us a little hindsight of what's been going on. Let's go out and pay some bills. Marco.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Ben, it's back to you, Tom.
You know, I just listened to that snippet, ladies and gentlemen, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. It was the seventh largest story. Seventh largest story in the world that took place in 2008, January or July 15th. You all heard about it. You all know the story about those clowns. It's sin what it is, but it's okay, you know. It blows my mind to see how these people, like, continually perpetrate hoaxes. I was told that these people are out there still today saying that they got a Bigfoot. Well, you know what happened with me. It cost us a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of hardships to a bunch of our families, ladies and gentlemen. Just wasn't right. But that's okay. What goes around comes around. We all have heard that many, many, many times, haven't we? So the key to this whole thing is let's look for the truth, not the bullshit. Got a chance. Take a look at that. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax tells it like it is. Let's see. Where are we going out to now? Wow, we're going out here to Alabama. We're going to talk to Chief of the Chickamauga Nation.
Chickamauga.
Excuse me. I stand to be corrected. He is a chief, huh?
Yes.
What do you call
him? Chief, are you there, my friend?
I'm right here.
Chief, how are you? Tom Biscardi.
How you doing, brother?
Well, happy belated Turkey Day to you.
And to you, brother.
It means a lot to me. How are things going? We were just over there in Alabama. What part of Alabama are you at?
I'm in the top left corner in Marion County.
Okay. All right. We were down there in Chancellor. You know where Chancellor Enterprise is?
I know of it. I've heard of it. I'd have to look on a map to find it.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours from that getaway where all the people go in the spring from Florida. I forget the name of the place. But, gosh, we were there. Well, it was last month, for crying out loud. We were there, and we were doing some filming, and pretty incredible stuff, I got to tell you.
Well, when I first called in and talked to the person that was in charge of the phone line, and he called me back. He was telling me that y'all had been here about a month ago and everything, and it was not too far from here. And let's see, now I'm about 70 miles from Birmingham.
Okay, I know where you're at.
Okay. 70 miles north of Birmingham, northwest of Birmingham.
How big is the res there where you're at?
Now, we don't have any tribal land. I have bought some land that is, I had to designate as tribal land under, you know, federal law. So, and it's a little 1 acre, oh so pretty, which amounts to squat, but that's the way the government has it. So, there you go.
Wow. So, let me ask you this. Are you on a government roll?
Yes, I'm registered with the Eastern Band of the Cherokee in Georgia.
Oh, man, okay. Been there many times. Love it up there in the Carolinas, especially where the Harrah's Casino is.
I'm registered with the Chattahoochee Band of over here in Georgia.
Yeah, but the Cherokee on the East Coast there. And I got to tell you something, Chief. I was shocked to see how the people up there on the Cherokee Reservation up there in the Carolinas, they take care of their people, especially their young. It kind of blew me away, and I says to myself, wow, this is phenomenal to see how they take care of their own up there.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because you're the only person I've ever heard say that.
You're kidding. And I'll tell you the reason why I'm saying that. You know, I get deep in with these
tribes that we, reservations that we deal with across the country. And I kind of tell everybody, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Now, the best looking reservation in the world is the ones out there in Mississippi.
Right.
You know, they're gorgeous compared to the other ones up in the Blackfeet.
Right. That's like a third world country up there.
Boy, have you, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it's like a third world country right here in America.
Yeah. And the reason why I say that, Chief, is because I've experienced it. I've had firsthand information. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw how it went from deprived areas, and they didn't care about their own people except for the upper echelon, to where in Mississippi, where they do care, and where the Cherokees on the East Coast, especially in the Carolinas where we were, where the Harris Casino is, it blew me away to see how they took care of their young. When they turned 18, they gave them all $50,000 to help them get an education. My gosh, that was wonderful.
Yes, that's fantastic.
See that going on, you know? And but yet there's others that live on the reservation, and as you know, they don't own the land, but they'll give you the land to live on, and if you are a 16th or more. And but yet, you don't have an actual reservation there in Alabama.
No, because we are a new tribe, but our tribe was federally recognized up until about the 60s. And they didn't renew the federal charter. And about this, or they didn't bother to. My ancestors thought, I mean, just blew it off. Actually, they didn't care. I mean, I'm in their shoes. They didn't care. They were federally recognized back in 1924. Up in about 1960-something, the U.S. government went through and said, okay, we're redoing everything, and so we're going to accept this one and not accept this one, accept this one, not accept this one, this, that, and the other. And they didn't accept ours and blew it off, and we was like, well, all right, fine. You know, we're still us. We don't care. You know, and blew it off. I mean, we're still the same people. We didn't ask them to recognize us in the first place. They never done anything for us in the first place. Why would, I mean, that's like asking, you know, if Germany had conquered us in World War II, for Germany to allow us to be American citizens. You know, why would we give a rat's ass if the U.S. government acknowledged us as Native Americans? It just doesn't pan out. You know, why would we care? You know?
Yeah.
It kind of defeats the purpose. But anyways, you know, so we are what we are, and we went through a brother tribe and got state recognition through them.
Well, I'm glad that you did that. Now, let me ask you this. How did you become the chief? How did you become the chairman?
Oh, Lord, that is a long, drawn-out story, and believe me, if I could lay this weight on someone else's shoulders, I would. But I was vice chief of a former tribe, and the chief of that tribe, who had, oh, this is a sad story, had pretty much bamboozled us into everyone thinking that they were federally recognized. 90% of all the people that come in on that was people that I knew. All right, come to find out this man was everything that he was not, that he claimed to be. And once we found that out, he was removed from office, and they put me in office. The tribe was renamed, everything redone, I mean, we're talking from everything you can imagine, constitution, tribal laws, bylaws, everything redone from scratch and placed on my shoulders. And I have never had migraines in my life, but I have been a migraine sufferer for the last 3 months now.
Let me ask you this, Chief. Are you recognized by the BIA?
Oh, yes, now. Sure.
Okay. And how big is your tribe?
Oh, Lord, I can't count.
That many?
Yeah, we've got it all on file.
Okay. You know, next time I come down to Alabama, I'm going to stop by and see you.
Well, you're going to have to.
Well, that would be wonderful. Especially anybody that calls me a brother right off the bat, I feel like I'm at home. Tell me what.
Well, like you said, we're Sasquatch brothers now.
That's for damn sure. How old are you, partner?
45.
Okay. All right. Well, you're old enough to be my son. Tell me about what's going on down there.
Well, not a whole lot and everything. I've been trying to think up some of the stories and everything that was told to me regarding Bigfoot and everything, and a couple has come to mind that I don't think I told you the last time. But now, like I said, I'm second party to all of these, but they're not fables and everything. Like I said, this was told to me through family. So why are you going to lie to family? You're not going to gain anything, and you're not going to get look no better.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. But when my uncles and my nephews, or my cousins and all them, not my nephews, but my cousins was all running around, this, that, and the other, they liked to go out and fix up old houses. And they'd go and crash there, you know, when they was out partying on the weekends and stuff like that. And they had two or three, you know, all at the same time. Just, they'd go there if they was abandoned, and, you know, God knows who owned them, so no one cared. They'd fix them up, you know, like one room out of them, make it nice and cozy. And one weekend, my uncle and two or three of my cousins, I don't know how many, had stopped into this one house, and we had crashed there for the night. They had them a bed, it's all in one room. You know, the living room was, this was a very old house, you know, had a big old fireplace in it and everything, you know, and they had it wooded up so it was, you know, pretty airtight. And they'd get a good fire going, and they'd lay down and went to sleep. Well, my grandpa now, which is my step-grandfather, mind you, which was, when I say my uncle, who's in all these escapades, my half-uncle, I'll throw that in there to split hairs. He'd be out and about and everything, and he knew all these haunts that they would stop in, and if he'd see their cars there, he'd stop in too. So it was no big deal. It was Grandpa getting away from Grandma, you know. But they'd stopped in this one house one night. You know, they was partying, you know, having a beer, drink, whatever, and had built up a big old fire and laid down, went to sleep. All right. My uncle wakes up. The fire had burnt down to embers, but still, you know, enough embers glowing to where it, you know, it lit the room halfway enough where he could, you know, you could still see to navigate. And he gets up, and they had one or two big old chairs, you know, lounge chairs sitting in there for them to sit into. And as he walks by, he sees his father sitting in one. He says, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" Whatever, it goes up, doesn't pay him no mind. Grabs a couple logs, throws them on the fire. And, you know, this is old, dried-out wood, so it catches quick. And by the time he gets back to his bed, you know, the flames are catching pretty good. Starts lighting the room up pretty good. And as he's laying there, dozing back off, you know, his eyes kind of wander over to the chair, and as it's getting lighter and lighter, he notices Grandpa's sitting kind of high in that chair. And then it's getting lighter, and he's Grandpa's legs are kind of long in that chair. Grandpa's arms are way down on the floor in that chair. What the hell's going on? Then he sees the hair. That's not Grandpa, even without a shirt. This thing, it's a Bigfoot sitting there in the chair. Well, he starts elbowing my cousin Danny, elbowing him. You know, and there's probably, you know, less than 20 foot. It's not that big a room, you know. He's elbowing my cousin Danny in the ribs. And Danny, what the hell are you, leave me, what the hell's wrong with you? He said, look. Danny looks over. Danny, you know, Danny wasn't afraid of anything. He'd soon fight as not. Danny started crying. Uncle Wayne said, shh, just don't make a big deal. You know, just keep it calm. And they laid there in feigned sleep for a long while. And this fire got up going real good, you know, and they could plainly see it. You know, it was just like having, you know, a high-powered light on in the room. And that thing sat there for a good long while, got good and warm. When it got warm enough, it stood up, probably much to the chair's relief, and strolls out the front door.
Anybody take any pictures with their phone cameras or anything?
There was no such thing back then.
How long ago was this,
Chief? This had to be 20 years ago.
Okay.
You know, 25 years ago.
Okay. Has anything recently transpired?
Well, it's like I was telling the man that took this call when I first called y'all. Okay. They still frequent up there at my grandmother's house.
All times of the year or just certain times?
Almost every night.
Really?
Now, my uncle passed away, the last person to live up there, you know, on a daily basis. He passed away about 6 months ago. So no one's been up there to, you know, really watch the place. So we don't know what's going on there. But they would frequent that place still, even after they clear-cut it, and this, that, and other, they would still come up there on a regular basis, not as regularly as when it was fully wooded, you know, like it used to be. But as the brush and timber was growing back, they had started coming back a little bit. Not as much as they used to, but as the, you know, growth was coming back, before it was an every night thing. After they clear-cut the place, you know, it was nothing. I mean, there was nothing nowhere for a long time until that growth restarted, you know, started coming back. Then they started coming back, you know, once every now and then. And then a little bit more, then a little bit more. And then till, you know, maybe once, twice, three times a month or more. So it had got to be almost back to a regular basis.
Okay. Well, here's the deal.
All right.
I'd love to go on with you for a long time. I got a lot more guests on the show here tonight, and I got to get them all in. But you're intriguing as hell, Chief, and I can't wait to get to meet you in person, okay?
All right.
So I'm going to put you on our list here, and next time I'm down there in Alabama, which may be in the next 2 weeks, I'll give you a jingle, and we'll meet.
All righty.
And you take care. We got to just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show left, and thanks for taking the time out with us tonight.
All right, I appreciate it, brother.
Be well.
Many bye. Blessings. Don't know the gay.
Okay, bye. That's the Chief out there in Alabama, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting guy. Can't wait to see him. Without any further ado, I want to get out there to see my son, my other son out there on the East Coast, out there in Virginia, Anthony. Anthony, you're out there?
Hey, Tom. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, happy belated to you and yours. I got to tell you, I seen that picture, and it's intriguing as hell. What do you make it out to be?
I'm telling you, Tom. I'm glad you brought that picture up. I'm glad you had the time to see it before, because it was kind of like it took me a while to get to you. I've been so busy, but I finally got to send it to you today. It was kind of interesting because that picture was taken a day after I set up the game camera. You know. And,
taken a day after when?
When I set up the game camera.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the day after I set up the game camera, which was just last week. As a matter of fact, it was that picture was taken on Wednesday, and I hadn't checked the camera. I was already on the show last week, and I hadn't checked the camera until later on, the end of last week. And when a game camera goes off, something is tripping it, and I just couldn't figure out what it was. And so, I just, just kind of zoomed in, and I just kind of slowly, observed all the areas, and then there was one particular area I saw that I said, this is a little spot right there, it's kind of sticking out, and I zoomed in a little bit on it, and then that's when I put in that circle there, and then I compared it to another picture during the day, and I noticed, I said, okay, now I know I got something there, because this other picture, there's nothing there, but this picture, there's a little dark spot right there, and then when you kind of zoom in on it, if you notice in the circle there, I'm sure you could see what I could see. It looks like there's a pair of eyes there. So, so that was kind of interesting to get that. So glad I was able to get it to you.
Now, let me ask you something, Anthony. Yeah. Is that the same area that we were out there together?
Oh, I wish it was, Tom, but it is not. This is an area probably about an hour. It's in the opposite. It's about an hour, probably a little more, hour west. Okay. This happened to be on a piece of property that I got permission to go hunting on. So this is not in the same area at all.
Did you go hunting?
Yeah, I went hunting.
Did you get anything?
No, I didn't get anything. Unfortunately, the day that I thought I was going to have a nice time out there, they had some neighbors, they had the grandchildren over, and there was, it was like the 4th of July. They were just target practicing all over the place. So I figured, let me just download the pictures off the camera and see what I got. And sure enough, that's what I got,
Wow, that's incredible. Well, listen. It's long overdue that I've got to get back out in that area.
Yeah, there's stuff going on in that area, and I'm sure you listened to the past shows, so there is stuff going on in that area.
Cool. And thank you, and Bill will post it. We'll get to the bottom of it and see what we got there. And thanks for belated Thanksgivings, and how's the weather, by the way, by you?
It's not so bad. During the day, it's been about the 50s, dropping down to the 30s at night,
Mm-hmm. No snow or anything, huh?
No snow.
Cool. Be well. Talk to
you. All right,
you
too.
Thanks.
God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Anthony out there in Virginia. Great guy. Can't wait to see him again. Let's go commercial, Bill. Let's pay some bills.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced them, and I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Excuse me, got a frog in my throat. That's the movie that started it all for us, Bigfoot Lives. Up until today, since 2005, 7 years ago, this has been our biggest selling movie ever. And it's been denoted, well, number one, we won Best Documentary and Best Director for that movie in the Pocono Mountains Film Festival. And it started us off, plummeted us off to make six movies, five since then. And we've entered three, and all three has won Best Documentary. And I got to tell you something, you got to go some to win that kind of accolade by your constituents and all the people that sent in their other movies. I'm very proud of that one movie. And everything that you see, it's not reenactments. It's the real deal. If you don't have it, go out and get it. Bigfoot Lives. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Arkansas and talk to Chris. Chris, you out there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm well. Yourself? Happy belated Turkey Day to you.
Thank you. It was more like pie day for me. I'm into the pecan pie and chocolate pie more myself.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you something. That pecan pie, first time I ever had it was that when I was down there in Arkansas, and my gosh, it's addictive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what's been going on over there?
Tom, since I talked to you last on the show, I went on the show out in the woods, and I talked to Marco, and I actually was out there in the woods on the show, and as we were going out there, we found a good spot, and we posted up, and as we were waiting on my turn to be on the show, me and my buddy started hearing footsteps around us in the woods, and it started to sound like it was coming from the left first, and as I was looking over in that direction, and we was out there, you know, it was already real dark, and we were out there with no lights on, because I didn't want anybody to think we were poaching, and we didn't have any guns or anything. I didn't want to get caught by the game warden coming out of the woods, and them thinking that I was out there night hunting. So we were just out there sitting in the dark, and the sound from the left, and then we started hearing started to sound like the same thing on the right, and it actually sounded like footsteps. Now, I keep telling, when I explain it, the reason I explain it like it actually sounds like footsteps is because if you hear a deer or a squirrel or something in the leaves, it sounds different than this. It literally sounds like you're about to get walked upon by somebody else out in the woods. And then it started sounding like there might have been one behind us. Now, we couldn't tell if it was the one on the right getting further away, or because the footsteps would stop. And when they were being still, it's about the time that we got it. At first we thought it was an acorn falling. The first time something was thrown. But after about the third time, when there was no wind blowing and these things were hitting, and you could hear that it was hitting and bouncing. Like, it wasn't like it was just landing in the leaves and stopping. It was coming in a trajectory. When it hit, it would hit, and then you could hear it hit something else on the ground. So I knew it wasn't dropping. And then we had one land probably 10 feet in front of us. One came from in front of us, the direction that we were facing. And it landed probably 10 feet from my foot, and that's when I knew for sure something was being thrown. And all this stuff right here with the throwing was going on while we were on the show. And then on the way out from doing the show, we're walking through the woods, and to the left of us, it's the same thing like when I had the first encounter. Sounded like something might have been over to the left of us. I don't know. I'd probably say sounded like probably like 20 yards or so from us. But in the dark, without a light, when we were just walking around trying to get closer to where we thought something threw it from us at, because time was running out on the show. So about this time, me and Marco was wrapping up, and I was just walking back out to the pipeline, and I just was walking in the direction of it from the closest thing that got thrown at us. I was walking in that direction, but back towards the pipeline as well. And we kept stopping. When we stopped, it sounded like something was like shaking the woods to our left, but it would be quiet. And when we started walking again or whatever, we had to stop every now and then to like move around vines. When we'd stop walking, you could hear something stop walking with us. When I got back out to the pipeline, we started walking back down to where we parked the truck. By this time, we was already off the air. And we took probably about, I say, 10 or 12 steps up the pipeline, not very many at all. And then something to the left of us we were still walking towards where the noise was coming from. Something broke loose in the woods and ran, and it sounded, it was almost, I'm so glad I got to hear it again, because it was close enough, but it was almost identical to the exact kind of sound that I heard when it ran from us when we hit it in the eyes with the flashlight, the first encounter that me and my buddy had. It was almost the exact same sound. So I got to hear what that's like again, and it still scares the hell out of me, but it also, it's very impressive. It makes me want to keep going back out there until I get better evidence, or actually get one that I can bring back. Like you said, one's got to be sacrificed to let the world know these things are real. And then all the he said, she said, whether it's more man than it is ape or whatever, all that'll be put to rest.
Boy, did you, Chris, thank you for that, because, you know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of listening to the bullshit and everybody's he and hawing around, you know. Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty here and just, you know, out of all these sightings, out of all these people across this country, all this doing is making the rest of us look like a bunch of idiots, because if there's as many sightings that has been seen around here, and people are out there in the brush with a gun, just do something for humanity. You know, get one of these things, bring it back, prove it to the world. Instead of he said, she said. I like the way you brought that up. I really do.
Yeah, I enjoy hearing all the stories, and I can't help but pick it apart now based on my own little experiences of being out there and then hearing other people's stories, what they tell me. But I mean, I still believe wholeheartedly that out there is a hot spot for these creatures. It has all the right things for their ecosystem. They have fresh water. It's a spring-fed little pond. There's like a marsh, it's like a swamp, but it's more of a marsh. It's not really big, but it's big enough. Like there's hogs out there. There's deer out there. They have plenty of food. There's virgin timber out there. Trees are bigger around as a Volkswagen or bigger. I mean, it's the perfect place. And besides the foot impressions that you see in the leaves and the nice tree arches that you'll walk upon, when you walk up to a place and you see something that looks out of place, and looks like a tree maybe, but it's out of place, and you walk over to this tree because you're in a hardwood area and it's a pine, and it doesn't have any limbs on it, and it doesn't really have a top. It looks more like a big branch, and you walk over and you grab it and you pick it up out the ground, and it's been stuck in the ground, and there's no pine trees anywhere around there for it to fall from. You know something is out there doing that. And
without
even if
doubt.
I hadn't...
We're running out of time. I want to thank you for your time, and thanks for your participation, my friend.
Tom, look, I enjoy it, and I still say, if you need a hand in Fayetteville, and when you get down there, if y'all think y'all got something close, I'm nervous, but I ain't scared to run in the woods after nothing, and I'll run till my heart stops if I think I'm behind something.
Thank you for your support, and thanks. When I'm down there, I'll give you a jingle. You come out, and I'll shake your hand, brother.
All right, Tom. Appreciate it, man.
Be well. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another wonderful hour, and of course, like all the rest of the hours, it's gone way too fast. Miss Calabash, good night, darling. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put it all together.